Good morning. Still morning for a few more minutes. We're going to talk about our community health workers, which we call community health coaches, in our primary care setting and how they've been involved in our behavioral health care integration and recovery services, as well as our primary care and oral health services. None of us have any relationships to disclose. Some learning objectives. We're going to talk about our efforts to calculate cost savings, our staffing model, program overview, and some trainings and tools, and we'll also talk about outcomes from some of our projects. So a little background. Genesee Health System is a public community mental health authority in Flint, Michigan, where nearly half the population lives under the federal poverty level. We're one of the top two or three leaders in crime in the country, and a third of our housing stock is vacant or abandoned, so it's a pretty challenged area. We, in 2012, received a grant from HRSA to become a federally qualified health center, and we were the first public community mental health provider to do that. That came with its own set of challenges, but in the end, we wanted to see improved health outcomes for all of the people that we served. We do have a priority focus on serving the homeless and those who live in public housing. Just a picture of our first clinic. So I just want to quickly introduce Doug Eby. When we were setting up our health center, we were fortunate enough to travel to Anchorage, Alaska, and we met Doug Eby, who is the VP of Medical Services at South Central Foundation, where they have achieved amazing outcomes, and I highly recommend, if you're not familiar with it, you look their system up. They have a relationship-based model of care that has been very influential for us. So to paraphrase him, the primary medical diagnosis is the individual's social situation, his isolation, his hopelessness, his depression. To connect with what gets him up in the morning is to set the stage for successfully addressing his chronic conditions. So this is a really dense slide. I'm going to try to make it simple pretty quickly here. So Doug Eby, you can see this talk if you can find it on YouTube, and I recommend again that you do. On the right, he talks about high acuity situations, and that is really if you've been like in a car accident and it's a life or death situation, and the healthcare system has really all the control and the patient really has none because they're probably unconscious. And that's good. And in that setting, we want the system to have control, and it's like throwing a rock at a target. And if they throw the rock, you know, over and over and hard enough and they practice a lot, they will hit the target, and that's great because that probably means the patient lived. But 70 to 90% of our healthcare dollars and time are spent in low acuity situations where we're managing chronic conditions. And in those settings, the patient and their family or support group have really all of the control. And that's a lot like throwing a bird at a target. So you can throw that bird as hard as you want, you can practice as many times as you want, but in the end, that bird really decides if it's going to fly to the target. So Doug Eby's solution is to get to know the bird, to build a relationship with the bird, understand what motivates the bird to fly to the target, maybe put the bird's babies at the target, put the things that the bird likes to do at the target, and then you get the outcome that you're looking for. And that's great. But in a place like Flint, it doesn't really matter how well you know the bird or how attractive the target is if the bird is in a cage that is built by social determinants. And that is really what we see with our patients. And as much as I love Doug Eby and he has inspired, you know, a lot of what we've done, I feel like our community health coaches have been instrumental in removing those cages for our birds, for our patients that we serve. And after they work with a coach, really they're ready to fly to that target. And with that, I will hand it over to Patty to talk more specifically about the way our program is set up.
So we, each of the health coaches have participated in a 7-day training. And the 7-day training is followed by a 192-hour internship at one of our local providers. And to be eligible for the training, it's an individual that is in long-term recovery from alcohol and or other drugs. The internship that follows has been really key to the success of our program. It's an average of 16 hours a week for 12 weeks. And we've been able to offer annual health coach trainings over the past 4 years. In addition, they also, while on the job, receive additional health-related trainings specific to asthma, tobacco cessation, and diabetes. So there, at the health center, there are many different roles that the health coaches do. They're part of a multidisciplinary team. And currently we have 7 health coaches, including the health coach supervisor. And we anticipate 3 additional coaches joining the team in the next month. Some coaches focus on individuals that have gone into the emergency room. Their goal is to find them and to connect them back to the health center within 7 days. And you guys have heard of house hunters. Well, we call them patient hunters. There are a couple of people on our staff that if you're out there, they will find you. And I remember one morning there was a, because we review all the ED admissions every morning, there was a woman that, a patient that had 41 ED visits. And nobody on our team had been able to find them, and one of our health coaches said, I'll find them. And I said, how are you going to find them? Because nobody else has found them. And she said, I'll find them. I said, okay. So a couple hours later, I was crossing the street, and she calls me on the phone, and she said, I found them. What do you want me to do with them? I said, bring them to the health center. So it is amazing. I think if I think about all the ED visits, I don't know if there's anybody that we have not been able to find and bring back to the health center. So it's really exciting stuff like that. We also have health coaches that engage with people before they go to substance abuse residential services or recovery housing or detox services, and once they also are discharged. We have one health coach that leads our Suboxone orientation. She's also in recovery from heroin and a trauma survivor. It's amazing when you have somebody there that has lived experience and other people that want to be part of that, what a relief it is for them, and that they're able to connect with somebody else just like them. So her role is to provide support to people receiving Suboxone and to the other people on the team, which is the prescribing physician, the social workers, and myself. We also have another coach who plays a role on the Vivitrol orientation. He's a motivator and connector. I like to talk about, we have an orientation every Friday, and at one of the orientations probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, there was 5 or 6 people that were interested. People clapped after he talked because they were so motivated. So each coach has an average caseload of 40 to 50 people. They have about 4 hours of face-to-face contact each day and routinely see, on average, about 15 people a week. So the key is, and I can't really emphasize this enough, is selecting the right staff. I mean, the people that believe that there are multiple pathways to recovery, that there is more than one way to do this. So overall, our goal is to ensure that people stay engaged in services. We try, because each of the coaches have such unique strengths that even though it's like overall program development, we try to tailor our program to meet the strengths of our health coaches. And one of the most critical ingredients is the confidence that they're able to gain from the job that they do. So data collection. Everybody, all the health workers, health coaches, they collect data. We typically review that data on a weekly basis. They know how important that is. They know how it drives our decision-making as it relates to programming. And what's really also critical is we're gonna have Tricia come up. She's our epidemiologist that analyzes and understands the data.
So like Patty mentioned, one of our health coaches' primary goals is to reduce the number of ER visits that our consumers have by immediately contacting them after they have an ER visit and we're notified by our local hospital electronic system of their ER visit. Our coaches will immediately get into contact with them and we will try to bring them into the health center for a follow-up visit within 7 days. And so our health coaches really play an integral role in educating our consumers on the importance of utilizing primary care over the emergency room. And this is just a summary of our past fiscal year and all of the data that we collect on these ER visits and the details of the contacts, a follow-up contacts. So it's great to be able to quantify this, because we do see this as an intervention that we can measure. And so going back to when we first began this project in January of 2014, we started collecting data at that point. we looked at the date that each coach first began their intervention with each consumer, and we measured the number of ER visits 3 months before and 3 months after working with that coach. And we have seen so far an overall reduction of 80% in emergency room visits. Now the next step with this data is calculating cost savings. We know that this is a cost-saving intervention, but we are currently in the works of communicating with our health plans to get that cost data. Like all projects that you're first starting out, you experience some obstacles with that, but it really is just all about persistence and communication to get the best data that we possibly can. Like Patty also mentioned, one of our medication-assisted treatment programs is Vivitrol, which is a once-a-month injection for patients who are seeking recovery from alcohol or opioids. And so this is just a brief report of the continuation rates that we look at to see where patients might be dropping off, why they're not coming in for their follow-up injections. And so, for instance, only about half of all people who receive the first injection are following up for their second injection. So that's where we're going to pinpoint our next intervention with our health coaches. Every week we go over our active Vivitrol cases, and this truly is a team approach. We go over when the last injection was for that patient, if they're delayed for some reason, if they're overdue for their injection. Our social worker will go over their counseling information with us. Our health coach is there to talk about what's going on with that patient, if they're doing well, if they're not doing well, why not, what barriers we have to overcome, such as missing their appointment due to transportation, something simple as that. We're also starting to collect PHQ-9 data with each injection just to understand whether or not this person's depression might be worsening or getting better. We also have implemented a breast and cervical cancer screening program, which our coaches play a huge role in recruiting those patients for their screenings. And we just started this program, so the data is a little bit sporadic, but we basically started from zero data collection. So we also collect data on just every contact that our coaches have with our consumers, whether it be a formal appointment or signing them up for insurance, to something informal like transporting them to their appointment, just talking with them about their recovery goals. We collect data on everything. And lastly, it's really important to monitor that data for errors, missingness. And I do this on a weekly basis and return it back to the coaches so that we know we're collecting the most complete and precise data that we possibly can. And with that, I'll turn it over to one of our health coaches, Drusilla.
Good morning, good afternoon. My name is Drusilla, and I'm one of the community health workers from Genesee Community Health Center. I promised them when I came up here I was not going to sing the Lego song, because one of the true things about being a community health worker is that we are part of the team. We work with nurse practitioners, we work with the doctors, we work with the caseworkers, the social workers, and we're part of that team. When we come to the table and we do the daily huddle, we're part of the team. When the doctor or the nurse practitioner says, hey, look, Drusilla, you know, they know that's the person I'm working with, he hasn't went to the labs yet, you know, he has that heart murmur, we got to get those labs. I'm on it. Patient, honey, I know where he's at, and he'll be coming in for that. You know, being a community health worker, we understand the importance of that because we were those patients. We were those people that were in recovery. So I know how important it is for me to have a relationship with the people that we serve. We sit down at the tables. We're not the social worker. So guess what? We can sit down with you. We can have that social support with you for more than 15 minutes or 45 minutes. We meet you exactly where you are. Exactly what you are. We have another, my coworker, I call her Ebony, and she calls me Ivory. She has a patient who was scared. She's socially scared to even get on the bus. But they started walking around the block. She took her, and she took her on the bus. When she talk about us being patient hunters, we go behind the garbage cans. because we meet you exactly where you are. These are the people that we serve. So when we have those daily huddles in the morning, the patient has not been in, we go and we find you because you are important to us. You are important to the providers. You are important to us. And yes, of course, a lot of times some of the patients and the people that we serve do have their comorbid. They have a mental illness. Maybe they might have a substance abuse disorder. But guess what? You know, it's not that you might get it through AA. You might not get it through NA. But regardless of whether the pathway you take, we're going to walk it with you side by side. We're not going to be in front of you to pull you. We're not behind you to push you. We walk side by side with you. Yes, we advocate for you because somebody taught us how to advocate for ourselves. We navigate you through the system because somebody taught us. And definitely motivate because this is, you can have the same thing. A lot of times, I was one of those same people, my first long-term recovery. But being in recovery today, my boyfriend doesn't have to hide his car keys. I have a BM working on my MA, and I work with an awesome group of people who train us. We get a lot of trainings, and they help us with the confidence that we already have in ourselves. You know, had it not been for the grants and for these amazing people here in our center, I don't believe that I would be where I am right now because they said you've already got it in you. Just go ahead and speak it a little loudly. So for all of us CHWs, yes, we are that missing link for the providers. We are the missing link. For those of you who don't know who we are, we're the missing link that will bring the patients back, that will help to connect them to the resources that they're supposed to be, and you will see the difference in their health. You will see the difference. We are the missing link. And with that, thank you.